Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with All Things Basketball with GD Podcast. And guys, I'm here in Cancun, Mexico, just relaxing, enjoying the good vibes, the good people, and so forth. But we got NBA playoff basketball going on, so I got to take time to talk about that before I get back to the pool and have my drink. But with that said, guys, I want to cover, I already went over the Western Conference, all that went on there, and then now we are going to cover the Eastern Conference. Then I got another little bit of tidbits here and there, but and then actually there's a game that's still to be decided. I'll kind of cover it a little bit, but and then we have more news. So let's get right into it, guys. Let's talk about a series that we know will be happening, and we'll talk about the two participants. We'll recap those games. So without any further delay, let's get into it. My New York Knicks, the 2 seed in the East, took on the 7 seed, the Philadelphia 76ers. And they win that series. And boy, was that a tough series, guys. 4-2. And this is how it shook out, guys. Game one. At the world's most famous arena, the Knicks take game one, 111 to 104, a game where Jalen Brunson didn't shoot his greatest, but the team carried him to the victory nonetheless. You got contributions all over the place. Game two, same sort of deal, and the Knicks were down by 8 with about 40 seconds left and somehow snatched victories from the jaws of defeat, winning that one 104 to 101. Then we travel to Philly, where Philadelphia takes game three, 125 to 114. Joel Embiid goes absolutely bonkers in that game. And then you have game four, the pivotal game four. The Knicks steal one in Philadelphia, 97 to 92 in that game, and which begins the start of Jalen Brunson. Actually, he had 39 in the loss to Philly, but this starts a streak of 40 plus points in 3 straight games. So he has it in this game here, game four. Then going back to the Garden in a tough game in overtime, where Tyrese Maxey just went absolutely bonkers. Crucial Nick mistakes down the stretch hurt them, like the 4-point play where Mitchell Robinson fouls Tyrese Maxey. Mind you, he traveled before he put up the 3-point shot. That's a story for another day, but they end up losing that in overtime, 112 to 106. I thought Jalen Brunson did not play like himself. He took all the shots in overtime. That was very unlike him. He didn't get his guys involved. But back to Philly for game six. And in a wild game, guys, the Knicks were up by 20 at one point. Then they fell down to about double digits at another point. Philly mounted their comeback. But in the end, the Knicks prevail and get the win on a huge 3-point shot from Josh Hart, and the Knicks get to win 118 to 115. For the Knicks, Jalen Brunson, what more can I say about him? I told you about the 3 games, 40 straight. Well, 3 straight games, 40 plus points or more. He did that, including a 47-point outing that he had. But he was absolutely sensational in this series, averaging 35.5 points per game, 9 assists, and 4.5 rebounds. And bear this in mind, guys. He was the leading scorer in the first round. He had the most points of any player in the first round during these playoffs. That's how valuable Jalen Brunson has been for these New York Knicks. Josh Hart, I told you about his heroics in game six. He averaged nearly 17 points per game, over 12 rebounds, and 4.5 assists for him. And then you got guys like OG Anunoby. What more can I say about this guy? He's been solid for them. He was huge for them in game 6. 15 points for him, nearly 7 rebounds, and over a block per game for him. And there's other heroes for the Knicks. Dante DiVincenzo coming up big in game 6. You still have Deuce McBride, Mitchell Robinson. Although the gaffe in game 5, the overall, he had a good series. He was almost taken out of the entire series. I'll talk about that in a minute. But contributions all around for the New York Knicks. And then for Philly, of course, everything begins with Joel Embiid. On that gimpy knee that he had throughout the entire series, 33 points per game he averaged, nearly 11 rebounds, nearly 6 assists, block and a half, over a steal per game for Joel Embiid. Tyrese Maxey had a coming out party, nearly 30 points per game for him, nearly 7 assists, over 5 rebounds. And then they got contributions from guys like Kelly Oubre, who I thought overall had a good series. He wasn't that great in game 6, over 13 points per game for him, 4 rebounds, and then he had all the nearly 2 steals over a block. How the Knicks won this series? Of course, as Big Perk calls him, that's Kendrick Perkins calls him, Big Body Brunson showed up and showed out, especially late in that series. People were nearly writing him off the first 2 games. He didn't shoot it that well. He redeemed himself the last 4. And then offensive rebounding and second chance points, guys. Consider this for the series. The Knicks had 115 points to Philly's 73 points on second chance points. So let that sink in. They were really crashing the boards, giving second and third and sometimes even 4th opportunities to those New York Knicks. How Philly lost it? Missed opportunities, guys, especially down the stretch. With the exception of that game 5, a lot of missed opportunities for them. And guys who went MIA, Tobias Harris, absolutely dreadful in game 6, 0 points on 0 of 2 shooting. Kyle Lowry, who was a pest throughout this entire series, did not show up for game 6. You got contributions from guys like Buddy Hield, who kept him in it, Nick Batum, but in the end, the Knicks prevail and win this series. And before I talk about what's next for the Sixers, let me just say this about Joel Embiid. He is the reigning MVP of the league. Let me give you the good news. I give him a whole lot of credit for gutting it out and playing this entire series. There was times where he could have easily checked out. He could have easily packed it in, but he played this entire series. And if you're a Sixer fan, I guess you take solace in that. The bad news is he is one of the dirtiest players in the NBA. What he did to Mitchell Robinson, grabbing his ankles, mind you, Robinson missed 3/4 of the season because of the ankle injury. Absolutely dirty, kicking guys in the groin. What he did to Hartenstein inside also. A forearm shiver to Jalen Brunson. Also clocking guys like Josh Hart. Absolutely dirty player. And I thought the league should have did something about it, but I understand it's the playoffs, but I mean, you got to throw the book at this guy with flagrants. He deserved a few more flagrant fouls than what he was called in this series. But, you know, I'm not going to say too much about it, but I just want to make it be known. Embiid, we see you. You was dirty to my Knicks, man. No good for you. So with that said, let's talk about what's next for Philly. Oh, they got a bunch of free agents. Tobias Harris, that tape he left of this series, who in the world is going to pay him that type of money he just saw? Mind you, he was being paid over $37 million. Now, remember, guys, they had the option of keeping Jimmy, a guy like Jimmy Butler, and you let him walk in favor of a Tobias Harris. You still had Ben Simmons on the books, but I think having a Jimmy Walker as opposed, not Jimmy Walker, Jimmy Butler as opposed to Tobias Harris, I think that speaks volumes for you to make that choice. But he's a free agent. I'm sure he'll go somewhere. But again, he won't be getting seeing that type of money that he saw in Philly, that's for sure. Buddy Hield, I think Buddy Hield played himself into a nice contract, especially what he did in Game 6. And my thing was, where in the world was he the entire series? He had 2 points in the series up until that Game 6 where he absolutely exploded. But, you know, hey, it helps my Knicks, so I'm not going to ask any questions, but that did seem puzzling to me. But he's a free agent. Also, Nick Batum, he's a free agent as well. I thought he showed some flashes as well that he still has something left in the tank there. Remember when he came over in that trade when they got him, he actually wanted to retire. In the Harden trade, he wanted to retire upon coming to Philly, but he decided to stick it out. And he's a guy who still has something left, so I'm sure a team would love to have his services. And Kelly Oubre, who they got on the cheap, but Kelly Oubre definitely showed he's still a player in this league, and he's still a contributor in this league. So I'm sure somebody will definitely try and bring him into their program. And then you have Cameron Payne, who was also kind of a pain in the neck for the Knicks, but at less than $3 million. Somebody's definitely going to pick him up. So you have all those free agents there. Of course, you got to lock in Maxey long term. Right now, he's getting $6.2 million, which is an absolute steal at that price for all-star guard. But the money is actually a qualifying offer. So I think it's in Philly's best interest to lock him up long term. So you have that. Joel Embiid, you just got to – health is the key with him. It's always the issue. His health, being able to manage his minutes, being able to have competent backups for him. I don't think they had that this season. Paul Reed didn't give you exactly the bang for your buck. So would they ever trade Embiid? He's such a talent. It's hard to move a talent like that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. And, oh, by the way, they were 12th in salary last season. So, Philadelphia Sixers going packing to places like Cancun, maybe. So, that's one series, guys. And then this one, I called the upset on this one, guys. The Indiana Pacers at the 6th seed, beating the number 3 seed, the Milwaukee Bucks, 4-2. I knew you probably wouldn't see Giannis for the series. I figured that in. So they dominated them during the regular season. But unlike Phoenix, I think Indiana were better coached, that's for sure, with Rick Carlisle. And you had these young pieces that were solid. And most of those games that they beat the Bucks, they did it without the services of Pascal Siakam. So I had the confidence that they would be able to beat the Milwaukee Bucks regardless. So they win that 4-2. Game one, Milwaukee wins. Dame Lillard goes crazy in that game. He drops about over 30 points in one half. Second half, he goes scoreless, go figure. But they win that 109-94. And then Indiana steals a game in Milwaukee 125-108. Then back to Indiana in a game that I watched the end of, the game that went into overtime. And Indiana wins that. Tyrese Haliburton comes up huge in that overtime, 121-118. And then you have Indiana winning again on their home floor, 126-113. Back to Milwaukee. Milwaukee saves face and win on their floor, 115-92. But going back to the arena in Indiana, they win 120-98. For the Pacers, Pascal Siakam. You heard me just talk about him. He was the catalyst for them guys. Over 22 points per game, nearly 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Guys like Miles Turner coming up big. Also Tyrese Haliburton. He's the engine that makes that machine go over there for the Pacers. And they get a lot of contributions all over the place, whether it be Andrew Nembhard, Aaron Nesmith, whether it be an old Nick of ours, Obi Toppin, TJ McConnell. You get contributions all over the place over there. And then for the Milwaukee Bucks, Dame Lillard averaging over 31 points a game. He did miss 2 games in this series, guys. So, again, that doesn't help matters either. So, yeah, it's not good. And then Chris Middleton, I thought, had a fantastic series. He definitely looked like his old self again, nearly 25 points per game, over 9 rebounds, nearly 5 assists. He was absolutely, he kept his team afloat, guys. And then Brook Lopez had a nice series as well for him. How Indiana won it. They dominated in the regular season, and they just carried that over to the postseason. How they beat up on Milwaukee all year long. They had no answer for Siakam, no answer for Miles Turner, and they had the better bench. They had the deeper bench and a bench that gave you more what you needed. How Milwaukee lost the series, no Giannis Antetokounmpo, that calf injury kept him out the entire series. Then you lose Dame for 2 games as well. And I think that pretty much sums it up, to be honest. Sure, you had guys like Bobby Portis come in and fill in for Giannis, but as good as Portis is, he's no Giannis Antetokounmpo. So that there you have it. Pat Bev being Pat Bev, and I'll talk about him in a minute when I talk about what's next. But all in all, this was a bad look. And remember, this was the franchise who got rid of coach Adrian Griffin, who had a 30-13 record at the time of his firing. They pretty much was a 500 team after that under the coaching of Doc Rivers. Some people will call it karma, the fact that you did Adrian Griffin the way you did him. Yeah, if you want to say that, that's cool. But you definitely don't move a coach. You let a coach figure it out. You don't fire him 43 games in and hoping that the new coach can turn this team into a championship team. You just can't do it. So, yeah, so that didn't bode well at all for Milwaukee. What's next for them? Patrick Beverley, who I think played himself out of definitely Milwaukee. I don't think they'll bring him back under any circumstances. He's a free agent. Over $3 million he's getting paid. Mind you, towards the end of game 6, he throws a ball at a fan. Not good. And then in the press conference, he disses ESPN reporter and refuses to answer her questions after a while. Now he's banned from ESPN as far as appearing on there and so forth. So he did himself no favors. So Patrick Beverley, yeah, you won't see him in a Milwaukee uniform again, that's for sure. Then Jay Crowder, also somebody getting paid $3 million. I think he's seen enough of what's going on over there. I think he's gone as well. Malik Beasley, not sure what's going to happen with him. And then Giannis's brother, Giannis, I guess they'll bring him back because Giannis will tell him to bring him back. It's pretty much that simple. And then do you want to sell high on Chris Middleton? I mean, again, he had a monster series. He looked like his old self again. He's still getting that. Right now, he's scheduled to get $31 million next season and then $34 million with a player option after. Do you want to move that contract and bring something in? What do you bring in, of course? That's what you have to figure out. And then Brook Lopez, who will be getting $23 million next year. Do you want to move him maybe and bring something in? A lot of things for Milwaukee to consider. And, oh, by the way, they were fourth in salary. So there's that. But that's your series as far as that goes. Now we have a pending matchup with my New York Knicks, the 2 seed facing the 6 seed Indiana Pacers. Who Indiana played them 3 games this season. They finished 2-1 over the Knicks. So this will not be a cupcake series, guys. As much as people want to say, as much as the Stephen A. Smiths of the world wants to advance the Knicks to the conference finals, this is not going to be a walk in the park, guys. And let me say this about Stephen A. Smith before I go any further. Here's a guy, true bandwagon fan, guys. I understand, actually, Big Perk, he was on Knicks Fan TV with CPU the Franchise, who does an amazing job over there. Big ups to him. He was on there, and he was actually saying he was making a plea to the Knicks fans to give Stephen A. a pass. He's just passionate about his team, so on and so forth. I get it, but your passion cannot be, what's the word I'm thinking of? It can't be where it makes you delusional. And I think that's where he is as a fan, if he is a fan. Now he's talking about bringing a Devin Booker to New York. Everybody knows Tibbs wants a certain type of guy, and I don't see Devin Booker being that type of Tibbs guy. Tibbs has a certain kind of guy he wants on this squad, like an OG Anunoby, perfect fit. He's perfect fit for this team. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who, oh, by the way, he got hurt in this series, and he's going to be out the rest of the playoffs. I was sad to see that because he was starting to come around. He had a slow start with the Knicks, but he was starting to acclimate himself with the team. So that's a blow to the Knicks because that's some scoring punch off the bench that you could have used, especially in this Pacers series. But again, Stephen A. Smith, he needs to get out of the suggestion business of who the Knicks should acquire and so forth because his track record ain't good. We'll leave it at that. So with that said, the matchup, my key matchups, of course, Jalen Brunson versus Tyrese Haliburton. I don't think they'll see each other one-on-one too much in this series. I think you'll see guys like OG slide over and guard him. I think you'll see Dante DiVincenzo try and guard Haliburton. I think it'll be a mixture of guys in that regard. But I think the guard that has the really good series, their team will go home victorious in the end. And then up front, OG Anunoby and Hartenstein. You also got to include Mitchell Robinson in that mix. I hope to see more Precious Achiuwa. He really stepped up when we did miss Mitchell Robinson for the 1 game. I thought he was tremendous. I'd like to see more of him in this series, especially the fact that he knows Pascal Siakam, being that they were teammates together. So those Knicks versus Siakam and Turner, you're going to have to keep those guys at bay, guys. That's the that's one of the ways the Knicks can prevail in this series. You're going to have to let them not go off. And then the Knicks bench versus Indiana's bench. Indiana has a very good bench, guys. There's no getting around it. I mentioned OB Toppin. He's been playing well for them. TJ McConnell. I think TJ McConnell versus Deuce McBride, I look forward to that. Because Deuce is a guy who gets up in you. And TJ McConnell, he's, if something were to happen to Haliburton, I think TJ McConnell is the best backup point guard in the league. So that's how highly I think of him. So that matchup with him and Deuce, I'll be interested to see that. And then the coaching. Tom Thibodeau versus Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle's a guy who's won a championship. He's come to Indiana. He's changed his style to cater to the personnel he has. So he's a guy who Tibbs is going to have to outcoach him. He's going to have to outcoach him in this series, guys. So with that said, I'm taking my Knicks in 7 games. But it's going to be a tough 7, guys. But I'm right with the Knicks. I think there's some momentum happening here. I think Brunson's on to something here. The Nova Knicks, your Josh Harts, your Dante DiVincenzo's, of course, Ananobi. I think something's brewing here, guys. And I had mentioned, too, that I think this year can be kind of a fluky year, and that's proving to be so when you see guys like LeBron already home, you see guys like KD, Steph Curry, guys already planning their vacations, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid. When you see these kind of big names already out of the playoffs, I think something could be brewing here. I understand Boston, who I'm going to talk about in a minute, the juggernaut that they are, but I think something might be happening here. I hope I'm right about that, and maybe we'll see what my Knicks do. All right, so that is the one series, and then we will talk sort of about this next supposed series. Well, let me talk about Boston beating the Miami Heat 4-1. In all honesty, guys, they should have swept this series. In all honesty, you didn't have Jimmy Butler. He had the MCL injury that kept him out the entire series. But Boston messed around and lost the game on their home floor. They let Miami steal one there. But after that, Boston wins the rest of the way. But that's the way it goes. But Boston, it was a steady diet, guys. You got Jaylen Brown doing his thing. Derek White, I thought, had a fantastic series. He had the one game where he dropped 30. I thought he was great throughout this series, guys. And then Jason Tatum, of course, you can't count him out. And then, of course, you have your other pieces. Drew Holiday, who didn't have such a great series, but he's a guy who's has championship pedigree, so you can never count him out. Kristaps Porzingis, who hurt himself in this series, and I think with this extended rest, I think that's helping him, especially given the fact that this one series is still going on, so I think that's helping him. Maybe you'll see him back and ready for the conference semifinals. We'll see. And then for Miami, Bam Adebayo. It was pretty much him and not much else. I mean, Tyler Hero, he was okay. He didn't shoot it all that well. Yeah, but they didn't get a lot from anywhere else. How Boston won it, again, Derek White had a fantastic series. I thought he was an overachiever in this series. He definitely showed up and showed out. And the important thing was they didn't have to overtax Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. They were able to manage their minutes well. The bench gave them pop. So they should be fresh as a daisy for this next series, guys. And that's what's scary to me going into the conference semis. And how Miami lost it? No Jimmy Butler. And then your third best player was either Caleb Martin or the rookie, Pami Jacquez. When it's like that, that's not good, guys. And you could have got better shooting from Tyler Hero, although he had the over 17 points per game. So with that said, what's next for Miami? Oh, and also, too, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, Terry Rozier, he was out with a neck injury. He didn't play the entire series either, guys. So when you have two of your starters out, again, I was surprised they even won a game, but this is Eric Spoelstra here. He knows what to do. He knows how to fill in the pieces, but he just didn't have enough firepower, and that's the bottom line. What's next for Miami? They're seventh in salary, guys. Right now, Khalid Martin, he has a player option for us over $7 million. I think he opts out and tries to go elsewhere. Kevin Love, he has a player option at $4 million. How much does Kevin Love have left? We'll see. And then also Josh Richardson, he's a guy with a player option as well. Thomas Bryant, the backup to Adebayo. Hayward Highsmith, he's an actual free agent. But I think when all is said and done, you probably just try and run it back. You bring back a healthy Jimmy Butler, a healthy Terry Rozier. You already got Bam. You bring in a piece here and there. Maybe a guy like Kelly Oubre draws your interest. You can bring him in. You know, and you just run it back. Eric Spoelstra is a guy who, if he has the necessary pieces, he'll have his squad ready to go. So that's how the Boston series went. And then right now you have this game, this series locked. It's going into a game 7, the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Orlando Magic. Right now it's 3-3 with each team winning on their home floor. So the pivotal game 7's in Cleveland. Can Cleveland get that home win to advance, or does the upstart Orlando Magic come in and steal that game 7? Hard for a young team to do that, but I'm not counting them out, guys. Jamal Mosley, you heard me sing his praises.
Okay, guys, we're back. Sorry about that, but you know something, guys? It is so hot down here in Cancun that the computer overheated, man. Unbelievable. But nonetheless, we are back here talking basketball, of course. I think I had last talked about Darius Morris passing away. But I did want to get into a little basketball, whatever, WNBA talk, if I could. I wanted to talk about this first cover, Candace Parker. She has just retired from the game. And if you remember, guys, last season she joined the Las Vegas Aces. She played for them in the beginning of the season, but then she had the foot injury that sidelined her for the rest of the season going into the postseason, where they won their championship. So she tried to give it a go and tried to make a comeback for this season, but the foot is just not cooperating, guys. And then remember, too, she's had a number of injuries in her career, 10 of them to be exact. So she said, you know what, the body is just not cooperating here. And she has retired from the game. And then, guys, remember, too, this is one of the iconic players in the league, in the history of the WNBA, guys. In fact, let me just run down her brief history. In high school, she led Naperville Central High School to 2 state championships there. They're outside of Chicago. She's played in the McDonald's All-American game. And actually there, she won a slam dunk contest where she beat the likes of J.R. Smith and Josh Smith as well. So she competed against guys in the slam dunk contest. That's how athletic this young lady is. Then she goes to the University of Tennessee. She has to redshirt her first year because she actually had a knee injury in the summer. So she sat out the first season over there with the Lady Vols under the coaching of the great Pat Summitt, of course. And then she would go on to lead the Lady Vols to 2 national championships. And oh, by the way, in both of those, she was voted the most outstanding player in both of those campaigns. And then she decides to forego her extra year of eligibility, which she had because of, you know, she redshirted. And she decided to use that year to prepare for the Olympics, which was the 2008 Olympics, and then for the WNBA draft, which she did. And they, oh, by the way, the USA team did win gold. Then she gets drafted first overall by the Los Angeles Sparks in the WNBA. And as a rookie, guys, she wins Rookie of the Year and MVP of the league. No other female basketball player has ever done that, guys. That's the kind of company she's keeping. And it's only been done twice in terms of the NBA. So you're talking about absolutely rarefied air for her. She's a 3-time champion, won with 3 different teams, also a first for the WNBA. She won it with the Sparks. She won it going back home to Chicago, playing for the Chicago Sky. And then she, last year with the Las Vegas Aces, she wins a championship. 2-time league MVP, 1-time finals MVP, defensive player of the year, 10-time all NBA, 7 times first team, 3 times second team, and 7-time all-star. This is the type of player that Candace Parker is, one of the true point forwards. She was able to handle the ball, of course, go in there and rebound and play tough defense, and of course, score buckets. For USA basketball, she's won Olympic gold twice. Should have been a 3rd time, but no good for Gino Auriemma. He kept her off the 2016 Olympic team. That's a story for another day. And then overseas, she played there, played in Russia, a 5-time champion there, played in China as well, and also in Turkey. And guys, she's eligible for the Naismith Hall of Fame in 2027. That is Candace Parker, one of the GOATs of the game, as Dawn Staley likes to say. Absolutely one of them. So we salute Candace Parker for what she's done for basketball as a whole, how she has elevated the game, and for her contributions. And she's one of those, she doesn't keep it to herself, guys. She's willing to share with her teammates. She's willing to empower her teammates. If you looked at her in Chicago, she definitely boosted the confidence of the likes of a Kalia Copper, and with the Sparks, definitely boosts ladies like Aneka Awumake, and then coming to Vegas, of course, mentoring Asia Wilson as well. So definitely a pro on and off the court. So again, we salute you, Candace Parker. All right, let us continue. Caitlin Clark, you know, she's coming to the league now. She actually just made her WNBA preseason debut for the Indiana Fever. And that happened actually on Friday night, May 3rd. And they were facing the Dallas Wings. They played that in Dallas, a game in which they did lose that game, thanks to Arike Ogunbowale's late exploits in that game, dropping the game-winning basket. Caitlin Clark in that game, 21 points on 6 of 15 shooting, 5 of 13 from 3, so she's obviously has the green light in that regard. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. She did have 5 turnovers, guys. And then this was a game that was available on the WNBA League Pass app. I'm going to talk about that more when I do my next piece of news here. And then also the Caitlin effect. Her home opener is now being moved from May 10th. It was supposed to be on May 10th, but thanks to the Indiana Pacers advancing in the playoffs, they now have to move that game to May 14th. So her home debut, guys, will be a little bit later than we imagined. It will be May 14th instead of the May 10th date, which now the Pacers will play that day. And then remember, too, they play in the same arena, so that's the reason for the move. And then in this last piece of news that I want to cover, guys, that Caitlin Clark game on Friday, the WNBA made that the only game available that night. Mind you, there was another game being played, the Chicago Sky, which has Camila Cardoza and Angel Reese making their debuts versus the Minnesota Lynx. And the Minnesota Lynx, who Alyssa Peely, she was making her debut. So the way I see it, I think in whatever kind of wisdom was being applied in that marketing or whoever's in charge of that, I guess their feeling was, let's get all eyeballs on the Caitlin Clark game and not make this game available. I understand as far as TV goes, see, they have the contract with Bally Sports, and Bally Sports, they would have had to show that game on Minnesota, Bally Sports Minnesota, but at the time the baseball game was being played there, so they couldn't show it live. So here's what happens. Somebody whips out the iPhone at the game, streams the game, and you have over 200,000 views on that game. Unbelievable. And I think this is an absolute total disgrace for the WNBA not to have this game available, knowing the limitations that they had TV-wise as far as showing this game. And then you tick off Angel Reese's fan base, who, oh, by the way, she has nearly 500,000 followers on X or Twitter. She has over 3 million followers on Instagram, countless others on Facebook and everywhere else. So you're already ticking off that fan base. Of course, obviously, the Chicago Sky and Minnesota Lynx fan base. You're also ticking off the nation of Brazil. They want to see their pride and joy, Camila Cardoza, make her debut. And then you also tick off the Samoan and the Native Indigenous community by not showing Alyssa Peely. And I stand in full agreement with Coach Cheryl Reeve of the Minnesota Lynx. The league now has to do business differently. You now have to think differently in terms of these ladies coming in. They're coming in with huge followings. That's why last year a lot of people were really mad because a player like Lexis Morris didn't make the Connecticut Suns team. So it was a lot of ticked off fans about that. A lot of ticked off fans about Bria Beal not making her squad as well. So these ladies are coming in with followings, guys. You're going to have to cater to that. So whoever's in that front office for the WNBA, Kathy Engelberg, you've been on TV. You've done the tours all over the place saying that, you know, you need to capitalize on this newfound interest. You got to play to those strengths and show these ladies. I understand it's preseason. I get that. I understand all that. But there's a buzz, guys. and you have to capitalize on that right now. Otherwise, you're going to lose it. So I'm saying all that to say, whether it's marketing, whether it's the TV folks for the WNBA, do better. You must do better. And, you know, maybe with this TV contract coming up with the NBA, I believe it's also tied in with the WNBA. You're going to have to get larger exposure, guys, and make these ladies available, because there is a buzz right now. You want to grab that. You want to grab that because that's going to help the league, and that's going to help these ladies get paid, which is the important thing. You know, I still say more women should follow them, but that's a story for another day. Okay, with that said, guys, that's it. Sorry it went a little bit longer because the laptop just burned out. It's just too much heat outside, guys. I was trying to do it in a natural setting, but it is what it is. So with that said, I thank you for listening as always. All things basketball with GD.com. That's the website. And then also, of course, you can get me on all the platforms. You can watch me there. YouTube, I'm there. All things basketball GD. And then also, too, on all the socials, I'm there as well. You can find me. Just type up the name. It'll pull it up. I'll be there. And then support, guys. Support this podcast. We can't do these things. We can't go to these exotic places without your support. So, although I'm just vacationing, but nonetheless, support this show, guys. You could do that on the website. Got a PayPal button. Got a buy me a coffee button. I got a Spotify button that you can contribute there. $GD, that sports dude, is my Cash App. You can do it like that as well and support this show. All right. With that said, I thank you for listening as always, and we'll talk soon. Take care.